All right, yeah, so we're asking the question how to not leave undergrad without wisdom for thriving in science, which sounds like a good theme for this conference, wisdom. I guess Daisy will be sharing later if we can get that PowerPoint to work. So Dennis can just kick us off. On the other end of the panel here, he's Associate Professor of Science and Religion at St. Joseph's College, University of Alberta. Expertise in questions about evolution and Christianity. So, yeah. Did you bring your book to conference? Or?
Oh, there's some out on the
table
shelf if you're interested.
Yeah, definitely take a look there. And Patricia Fitzgerald, how do you say your last name?
Bocarsley.
Professor at Rutgers in New Jersey Medical School. Awesome. Yeah, I work with Penn State University College of Medicine, so, mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a great place. Department of Pathology, oh my goodness, yeah, and Laboratory Science, HIV Research, and co-leader of Adult Sunday School, class on faith and science this past year. That's awesome. Love to hear more about that. And Anne McLean, I don't think we've met before.
Alyn
McLean has pharmaceutical and biotech company expertise, leads science with a mission nonprofit. That sounds awesome. Now works with designing easy-to-use diagnostic tests for the developing world. And Daisy will be joining us as a professor at Grand Canyon University and studies antimicrobial products from desert plants.
Cool.
Yeah, wow. That must be really interesting. An advisor of a local ACA chapter. So I'll just let Dennis just kick off a little bit on wisdom here.
Well, that word wisdom has kind of evolved in my mind over time, and it's one of these entities that wisdom you can't unpack in a multiple choice exam. Knowledge you can. And as I'm looking at this presentation, I've got to admit, I feel like I'm a bit of a fraud being up here, because these are real scientists. I'm really a theologian, works in science and religion, though I'm still active in the paleontology world. I'd say about 15% of my work is working on the evolution of teeth and jaws. And so my spin on wisdom is, and we saw it unfold in terms of trying to make sense of God's will, and so this is my central point. I believe this is the word of God. And when I look back at my life going through graduate school, I found there were periods that, and of all times, is when I was in theology school doing Old Testament studies, where my faith became the driest. And looking back now, I know why. Despite the fact I'm pounding the text 16 hours a day, there comes a point when you have to open the text and read it like a little boy and a little girl and downshift. And so my one point is, you need to do personal devotions in the midst of the madness of working 16-hour days. I know that game. It doesn't have to be long. I do it every morning. First fruits for me. I'm a morning person. And it's there that it becomes that stabilizing force. And I'm going to read one verse, and I'm sure you all know the verse, the wonderful book of Romans, Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm 64 years of age. I've been a professional theologian for nearly 40. And if you think I've arrived, don't even go there. I am always renewing my mind, renewing my mind. And so part of your career as a scientist become a question of being in the text, listening to the Holy Spirit, shaping you and moving you in different directions. And as I moved along, I mean, you know, when you're in the academic world, your first thought is go to the highest places academically, and it became very clear, and we heard it in the earlier panel. I really have a love for teaching. I mean, I was headhunted to go to Canada's leading university, University of Toronto, to run a science and religion program. From an academic perspective, you say, that's where you should go. I said, I didn't even get on the plane. I said, thank you, I'm flattered, but I know where God has placed me. I'm placed in an undergraduate college in a major university helping young people who wrestle with the issue of evolution, in particular evangelicals. So the text is everything for me. As one little extra caveat for you guys being scientists, as you go down through your career, think seriously, be somewhere along the line doing a science religion course. Because these kids, you're going to find this. I teach over 50% of all the theology courses in my college in one introductory course in science and religion. So somewhere along the line, this is a great opportunity to talk about God seriously, to think seriously about God. And by the way, science and religion is a serious academic discipline. Chairs in Oxford, Cambridge, Harvard, Princeton, Toronto. And I always like tacking on the end. Little old St. Joseph's College, the University of Alberta. So check's number one. Number two in terms of your career, think seriously about encouraging people in science and religion. And no one owns the discipline, so you as scientists can certainly teach those courses.
Awesome.
Okay. So perhaps my comments will be more secular. I hope you'll forgive me, but I was an undergraduate in biochemistry at UCLA, and I wanted to go to medical school. That had been my goal forever, and I'd done a lot of volunteer work, and then I started to take advantage of an opportunity of getting into a research lab, and I fell in love with it. It was really fun, and that the aha moment when you discover something and it's the first, you know, that you're the only person that's ever done this. It was so exciting. And to me, it was a way to praise God also. And like, your creation is amazing, God. And I just love it. So I ended up applying to graduate school and took a little bit of a right turn because I started a PhD program at UC Davis and then decided to marry my college sweetheart who was at MIT. So I quickly got a master's and moved to Boston University. And then when he got his faculty position at Princeton, I moved to Sloan Kettering to do postdoctoral work. Sloan Kettering is in New York City and one of the premier, probably the premier cancer research institute in the country. It was really exciting. And then I was ready to leave there, and I applied for two faculty jobs. I know this is not normal, and I got them both. Because I had my first R01 grant, the gold standard from the NIH, and brought it with me to New Jersey Medical School. And so I've had my whole career there. So rather than moving from institution to institution, I've been developing my career in different ways. And just yesterday I was offered a very high-level half-time administrative position as a provost at my university. But I'm still going to keep the research lab and some of the teaching, so that's going to be the next evolution of my career. But I would say that I would recommend an undergrad is take advantage of programs. And if you're not at a research program, find out if you love this. I mean, for me, it changed my mind. I'm still in biomedicine. I do HIV research. But rather than treating patients, I'm discovering in the laboratory, or actually my students and postdocs and undergrads that are in the laboratory, they're doing the work. And I get to see all the data and help out the ideas and stuff. But take advantage. There are a lot of programs. One of my recent MD-PhD graduates who finished his PhD this April and then is back for the last 2 years in medical school, but he graduated from this college. And he didn't have opportunities to do the level of research he wanted to do, so he did a summer program at one of the Harvard affiliates in the city. And so he had that experience that got him in a good position to apply for the MD-PhD program. So take advantage of that. There are so many undergraduate programs out there now that you can apply to. They're all over the place, many more than were available when I was looking at it. So, and I would say, I don't think the young man is here, but I would agree with Bob Cada that you need to follow what God has made you for. So if we can't all be theologians, you know, I certainly can't be, but I can be in a laboratory and having a ethical and highly caring interaction with my students, my trainees. And I've had a number of Christians that come through the lab. I was so immersing with one graduate student goes, "Did you know there's a Bible on your shelf?" And I said, "How did that get there?" it gave me opportunities to talk about it. But I would say take advantage of it, you know, and meet people. Go to conferences while you're here. That's a wonderful thing. go into summer research programs. Find out if that's what you want to do. Our graduate school has programs called a program called iJobs, and it allows people to be exposed to all the different things. Because again, we're not all going to clone. Our students are not going to be cloned. Of my 32 PhDs, I think only 5 are in academics. They all, I mean, they all had successful careers. Mm.
Great.
When Hannah first asked me if I would come and just speak for a few minutes, my first thought was, you know, just very vague fuzziness. I'm like, oh, tell them to follow their joy. Because in general, and you can hear this is a common theme between what was just spoken about in that last panel now. In general, God does not call us to a life of misery. He's calling us to a life of joy. He's going to be able to use your passions, your desires, your experiences, and his desire for you and his will for this world and put them together for his good. So continue to seek him in his direction. But I thought, okay, that's far too vague and fuzzy, so let me think of what else I can tell these kids. And so I thought of something very specific that probably will only be of use to maybe one of you in here, but we'll go for it. When I worked in biotechnology for a number of years and I was a hiring manager, I would see a lot of folks that would come through wanting jobs. The vast majority had biology degrees because people don't like chemistry because it's too much math. But the vast majority of the time, we would hire anybody with a chemistry degree first or with biology because we wanted that experience with the instrumentation. So for those of you that are still in undergrad and you've got enough time left to be making some decisions, if you have any consideration to maybe not stop at organic chemistry, but to go ahead and take analytical or some instrumentation, to have that exposure to using some pieces of equipment, if you like to get into biomedical, biotechnology, pharmaceuticals, things like that, if you like doing research, think of CSI, think of Abby Schudo, you know, major mass spec. It can be enjoyable, and to have that experience can give you an easier time when it comes to trying to find a job. So that's just a very specific suggestion for anybody out there that might apply to.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Do you have something here particularly?
Yeah, we just need to find it on
there. I'm going to move so I can see the PowerPoint.
On the desktop and open it. Perhaps you guys can answer a few questions just while we get Daisy's finish putting Daisy's presentation up.
Can you wait?
Just having minor technical difficulties. So.
I love the picture.
It's a nice picture.
Kind of one. I forgot to tell you one important thing because I see a lot of the undergrads in the room are women. I have three kids. We have three kids. They're grown now. My oldest daughter is a PhD, a postdoc at the NIH, and is going to be going on the faculty market next year. My second daughter is a counselor in private practice with a social work degree, and my son is a PhD student in material science. But putting God first and family next and then career, God blessed us as a family, and we've got a great family. All of our kids love the Lord, and my husband and I have both been successful in our career. So God is good.
All right. Thank you so much for answering. I think we have Daisy's presentation up.
Great.
She'll come up for us.
Well, thank you, Hannah and Tom, for arranging this for me. And I just wanted to share in 5 minutes whatever little wisdom that I acquired and what I can impart to you within the next 5 minutes. And so normally people come to God through science. Mine was the other way around. It was my faith in Christ that shaped my interest in science. And, you know, Jesus himself claims that he is the resurrection and the life. So he is the author and source of life. And when we need to study life, that is nothing but biology. So that's what drew me into biology. Also, my biology teacher was a strong influence because she was a Christian. I went to a Christian school. And I was fascinated with everything that was science. It came naturally to me, and I enjoyed learning science. And I went on to do my PhD in molecular microbiology, and then that involved constructing a bacterial clone that was then used up for cleaning aromatic pollutants in coastal waters. Currently, I'm teaching microbiology at Grand Canyon University, and there's something very interesting that I want to share. Last year, we started a local chapter at GCU, that is where I teach, and we just started with 4 student members. And within 1 semester, we did so much of promotion. We prayed, we fasted, and guess what? The numbers swelled to more than 84 within a span of a semester. So I can't call that normal. It is just a miracle. So that's how God blesses. When we delight in Him, when we delight to do His will. In addition to teaching, I also am engaged in a little bit of research that has to do with discovering novel drugs to treat infections caused by drug-resistant bacteria. Have you heard of MRSA and stuff? Yes, yeah. So they don't respond to antibiotics anymore, so that's what I do, and I'm going to show you a picture of my students while we were doing research. So when I want to talk about success in science, and we always look to the Bible, right? Whenever we need an answer to any question, the very word science itself is not there in the Bible. There's no talk about scientists. I did remember reading about King Solomon. He had extensive knowledge, but the person who was close to my heart was this Bible character called Daniel. And this is how it reads in the version of Bible that I grew up with. He and his friends were skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. And so when I was reading, again, the story of Daniel, I was wondering, like, what is exactly the secret to his success and how God used him in that kingdom of Babylon? So this is what I came up with when I looked at the words wisdom, knowledge. I think it can be synonymous to science. I mean, even though you don't see a word science, we know that it is knowledge. And when knowledge is applied, that is wisdom. So these were the words that came to my mind. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And when we are talking about knowledge, it's not factual knowledge, but it is to know God. To know about something or to know about God is one thing, but to know Him personally and in a very intimate manner is the secret to success in no matter which career or which discipline you choose in science. The fear of the Lord is also the beginning of wisdom. And if anything that you want to take away from what I'm going to share today, this is the bottom line, the fear of the Lord. You want to write it down in your notebooks. You want to let it get imprinted in your heart. You want to keep it in your mind. Always make sure that it's the fear of the Lord. And when you're talking about fear, it's not like you're kind of afraid of God, but there is that awe and reverence that He is God and we are not. We are mere creation. And when you follow this principle and you always abide by it, you will find favor with God and with people, whether these people are Christians or whether they are non-Christians. And tips to thrive, Hannah wanted me to share some tips. Number one, since most of you are undergrads, if you are planning to go for higher studies, you want to choose the right lab. When I say the right lab, it doesn't mean someone who is doing publications in very high research journals, but someone who will give you that independence to just follow your passion and pursue your dreams. So read up, do a lot of background research, pick the right lab group, and then you want to make sure you learn as many techniques as you can, because you want to acquire a broad range of skill sets. You don't want to be narrowing down. You want to acquire a lot of different techniques, and also, this is my personal advice because I speak this with experience, always get involved in a little bit of teaching, because it's the teaching that will hone your communication skills, and also it will help you write, do presentations, so that will help with your career. Connect with a professional who's already established in science. It could be your mentor, it could be a peer, someone who you think you can emulate. And also you want to keep a network of some of these buddies and make sure that you always keep asking them for advice and suggestions, because guess what? When I started out in biology, in my family, people had no clue what that was. My dad was in the technical side. But he said, what are you going to do in biology? So I had to read, I had to keep asking, I had to make connections, and I had to chart out my own career. And this meeting, this is a perfect place for you to be, and I'm glad that you are here. Make sure you publish, because if you don't publish, you perish. That is a very important part of a career. And keep updating your CV. It's very important. Whatever, like, you attended this meeting, put it into your resume. That way you keep it updated. And then remember, science itself is not an end, but it is a means to an end. It's merely a tool. You want to make sure that you set your priorities for God. Like Patricia mentioned, God first, always. That is the number one rule. Always seek God and His kingdom and His righteousness, even if we are doing science, because ultimately, what is the end goal? Salvation of souls. I want to share a little bit about my family. So I did my PhD in molecular microbiology, and I teach right now in Grand Canyon University. Every class that I teach, I start with a prayer. Every lesson, every biology concept that we learn, it is tied to something in the Bible. So students come to me, they approach me, they have problems, I get to share, I get to encourage them, comfort them, and sometimes there are students who had no clue what Christianity was. They were totally from a non-Christian, atheistic, or secular background. I was able to lead them to Christ. So that's how I see my career. My career exactly is not my calling, but it is a context where I fulfill my calling, what God has made me or created me to do. My sister who's next to me, she went on to be a medical doctor. She specialized in AIDS medicine. So, you know, in a third world country, AIDS, most of her patients will eventually die. So when she prescribes medicines, this is what she says. She prays for them. She says, listen, this medicine, maybe it'll prolong your life for a year or maybe more than a year. But I want to share Christ, and I want to share the good news that He has come to save us. So if you accept Him, you'll be saved for eternity. So she lets people preach Christ and shares Christ with others. My other sister, she went on to do her master's in business administration, and her specialization was finance. So she joined this medical organization that goes and sets up little hospitals where people, if they have to go for a, if they had a heart attack, they have to travel 100 kilometers to get help. If they had to go for a cesarean, they had to travel 100 kilometers. So she helps set up these hospitals where people can get medical help. So that's exactly how your science career should be able to, it should be tied to the kingdom of God. And these are my wonderful students, and we have done some fantastic work. And I want to leave you with this verse. Whatever we do, drink or eat, or pursue a science career, we ultimately glorify God through our careers. That's how we honor. Study well, work hard, be committed, be passionate. Don't look back. If you place your hand on the plow, there's no point looking back. Keep marching forward. It's not an easy life. It's not a bed of roses. But like in every other field, science comes with its own challenges. But what was the verse that I said that you have to keep in mind? That I started out with? The fear
of the Lord.
Correct. Keep that in mind, and God will cause you to flourish in everything. Thank you.
Great.